Before I share a couple of words about this day, please join me in praying to our Blessed Mother for peace in Ukraine and for the Ukrainian people. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So when God looks upon the church, this is actually what he sees. He sees people from different countries and languages and cultures. When we're in our own country, we tend to look at the church through the lens of our own culture. And we tend to look at church in the way we celebrate church. But those of you that have come now to this country, now you see a difference, right? That the way you see church and celebrate church is a little different than the way we see church and celebrate church here. In many of your countries, Mass goes on for hours. If I were to have a 2 or 3 hour Mass, I would be killed. Because Americans like things quick, right? We like the microwave Mass, right? Press a button. And I had to, myself, had to navigate those worlds. Because in the Hispanic culture, a Sunday 35, 40 minute Mass, the people kind of think, what, are you in a hurry? We're not important enough? In an English-speaking world, a Sunday homily that's anywhere beyond 10 minutes is way too long. They start looking at their watches. They start looking to the sides, right? Neither is good or bad, it's just different. Because faith and culture are inseparable. The faith is one, our faith in Jesus Christ, our love for the church. That's one. That's actually what brings us together. What brings us together is not really our culture, is actually that altar brings us together. That altar, whether it's here at this cathedral of the Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul, or your little parish or big parish in your country, it's the same altar. It's the altar that represents Christ. That's why the priest kisses the altar when he comes and when he goes, because it represents Christ, the altar of sacrifice, the sacrifice itself. That altar and the Eucharist that's celebrated on that altar is actually what brings us all together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we celebrate culture. Culture's a different animal, right? Because we don't even know really what culture is. There's no definition per se. Culture is taught to us, but we don't read it in a book, right? We don't read it in a book. There's no book that the Korean community could give me that tells me what it means to be a Korean, right? You live it. Culture, in many ways, are the unspoken rules by which we live life, and we experience life, and we see the world, and we see ourselves, and we see other people. The best description that I ever had of actually culture was actually an exercise. I was attending a conference in Baltimore where I was a presenter, but I went to a workshop of this conference on culture. And so the presenter of that workshop, rather than talk for an hour about what culture is and what isn't, What he had us do is he showed us through an exercise. And what he did was he divided everybody into round tables. At each table, there were about 10 people, the big table, a big room. In the center of the table, there was a deck of cards, like playing cards. There was a deck of cards, and there were a little stack of papers. They were turned upside down. And he said to us that the papers were the instructions of the game of cards that we were going to play. And he asked that the instructions be given out to everybody in the table. And the only rule was that you couldn't talk. You couldn't talk to each other. It all had to be silent. So you got the instructions of the game. You read them silently to yourself. And then they collected the instructions. And then each table played the game based on the instructions that they had on the table. Got it so far? And that was fine up to that point. When the game was done, all the winners in one table, at the table, went to one table. And then everybody was asked to go to another table. But there were no instructions, though, because the instructions were given at the first table. And then we were asked silently, without talking to each other, we were asked then to play the game. But then things didn't start going too well, because we all started noticing that, and we couldn't say anything, we couldn't talk, that this person over here is not playing by the rules. And I started thinking, what's wrong with you? You can't read? Can you read the instructions? You're not supposed to do that. But it wasn't just you. Then, like, you over here, it's like, and what's wrong with you? Didn't you read? They gave the instructions at the first table. And people started kind of getting a little annoyed at each other, right? A little annoyed. What had actually happened was that each of the 10 tables had different instructions, right? By which they were playing the game. So actually, you were playing the game correctly by the instructions that you read. And for you, you were playing the instructions of the game that you received at this table. And then this guy said, that's culture, right? We each play the game of life, if you will, in a sense by little different rules. Some of them are very visible, right? The way you dress, the way what you eat, the way you dance, the way you gather. It's all very visible. But most of culture actually is invisible. It's not seen. It's not expressed through words. It's just lived. And the church loves that. The church actually, in many, many ways, is the master of bringing cultures together. Because that is the world. The world is diverse in culture and language. And though the Catholic Church has one faith, it's rooted and is incarnated, if you will. It takes flesh in different countries and in different cultures. Because that was the mandate of Jesus Christ. The mandate of Jesus Christ, his last words on the planet were go. But go where? To proclaim the gospel. But he didn't send them to downtown Jerusalem. He sent them to all the nations. Now imagine You're standing up on that Mount of Olives, and you're now being sent, when most of the time, the message of Jesus, the word of Jesus is actually come. Come and follow me. That's what he said to these original disciples and apostles. Come. Come and follow me. But now his last word wasn't just come anymore. Now it was actually go. And actually, that word go is the last words of the Mass. Right? Of the Mass. And he tells them to go to all the nations. I don't know what they said to each other after he ascended into the heavens. But if I was there, I would say, was he kidding? Really? Go to all the nations? How are we going to even get there? There's no planes. There's no mail. There's no internet. There's no social media. There's no nothing. All there was a mountain. And him descending into the heavens. And then he disappears. I would have said, sure, you tell us to go to all the nations and then you go away. But he did promise, though, that same day, that he would remain with us until the end of time. And to be faithful to that mandate to go. And faithful they were. Faithful they were. They went to all the nations. Look around you. Just look around you. They went to all the nations. They went to Pakistan and Guinea and Sierra Leone and Haiti and I can't see the Philippines and India and Portugal. Now I can't see because I'm 60. Poland and Korea and India and Indonesia and China. They went represented by all these different banners, right? The message of the gospel left that mountain in Jerusalem, all these places. And that's why you're here today. Because that message that the apostles handed on from that mountain forward, somehow and some way, through 20 generations, over 2,000 years, ended up touching you. And what's your name, honey?
Shannon.
Shannon, that's why you're sitting there. Because if not, you would be someplace else. You wouldn't be here today. So Shannon is here, and you're from where?
Pakistan.
From Pakistan. Imagine. Imagine the work that was given to the early church. But the Lord promised them that he would not leave them alone or orphaned. That the grace and the power of his Spirit would accompany the church. And the Spirit has accompanied us. So Pope Francis, can I see your program a minute? Pope Francis has a quote here. It's a beautiful quote. Announce the good news of Jesus Christ. That is a final mandate. To them on that mountain in Jerusalem on the day of the ascension of our Lord, but also to us today on this mountain, in this place. Go and announce the good news of the Lord. Open windows of dialogue. Because if we can't talk to each other, we can't announce anything. And to provide and make open spaces of fraternity. For dialogue and fraternity. And that's what the church has done over now 2,000 years. As missionaries from one country went to your country. And what did they do? They brought people together around the Eucharist. Around the Eucharist. That's the first thing they did. They opened up spaces of dialogue and bringing people together in fraternity as we're doing here today as well in this Mother Church of Philadelphia. But that was then, but this is now, right? And our challenge and task and actually beautiful call is to do the same thing. The message hasn't changed. And parents, you have to now, in a new country that you've come to, you have to hand that over to the little ones, right? And you have to make sure that you hand it in such a way, are those your kids? That you hand it to them in such a way that preserves the beauty of your culture, right? That preserves the beauty of your language. One of the saddest things that kind of happened in this country that really wasn't all that great when you look back on it, that some cultures came here and very quickly actually shed their culture because they didn't feel accepted. In fact, sometimes they changed their name. Sometimes they changed their name, their last name, so that they would be accepted, kind of hiding. And they didn't hand down to the little ones the language and the culture. In some cultures, the only thing they might preserve a little bit is maybe some cuisine, some food. But other than that, the kids lost their culture. That was a gift from God to them. But don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to these little ones. Make sure that they learn your language, the language that brought you here, that you carried here. Make sure that they learn your culture, not just your food. That while, yes, it's important to become part of another family, but becoming part of another family, a bigger family, doesn't mean that I cease to be who I am. Does that make sense? That I don't need to cease to be who I am. Who I am. Because that's the beauty of the human family. That God made us all alike, but at the same time different. And each one of us then has a place in this world, and especially in the church. And so celebrate culture, celebrate your heritage. It's a gift from God, and don't let anybody or anything put you down for that. Be proud, be joyful, and be blessed. God bless you.